This is a dispatch from the Institute of Magical Historicity. These dispatches come in from across our worldwide network in New York, Zurich, Rochester, Prague, and San Francisco. They are written and read by Institute President Benjamin Wax and scored by the Dean of Aesthetics, Ariel Cruz. They have been peer-reviewed for accuracy by the Council of Three and fact-checked by Institute staff. For more information, visit magicalhistoricity.com. The Tower and the Dragon. Once, there was a great tower, surrounded by a wall of sharp thistles, in which a gentle princess was kept prisoner. A dragon, too, lived within the wall, its massive body wrapped around the tower, guarding it from any who approached. And there were many, for the princess's lovely voice could be heard singing from afar, and those with keen eyes could see her in the highest window or atop her balcony, and they said that she was beautiful beyond words. And of course, her father had offered a great reward to any who could save her. But the thistles would cut any who came too close, and as knights of the realm and wizards of the islands and thieves of the underground looked for a way through, the voice of the dragon whispered to them from the other side in tones of reason and sympathy and authority. Anyone who has been held in a tower for so long must be mad with grief and need, the voice of the dragon whispered to a prince from a mountain kingdom. It is too overwhelming. Your life would be ruined tending to her. You should turn around. And the prince did. Princesses are not well educated, for no one tends to their minds, the dragon sneered to an old wizard with a staff of steel. And this one has had no tutors to help her. To tie your life to hers would be to slowly drown in ignorance day after day. You should turn around. And the wizard did. She is alone because she wishes to be, the dragon hissed to a young thief who made traps for kings. She could escape if she tried, but she does not, and so you are trying to rescue someone who does not want to be saved, which is always an errand for fools. And so the thief turned around. And seeing this over and over again, the princess despaired, and she wondered how she could silence the dragon long enough for one of her rescuers to find a way through the terrible wall of thorns. At last she devised a plan. Carefully, over months and years, she cultivated a small batch of deadly fungi in a corner of the tower, and when it had grown so potent that the stone it lived on began to crumble, she carefully collected a sample in a glass vial. She waited one night until the dragon's head rested against her window, its great breaths shaking her room like summer storms, and she opened the vial close to its mouth as it sucked in air through its long teeth, so that it inhaled the spores. By the next morning, the dragon was pale and sick, and by the next night, it had died. She ran to the top of her tower and looked across the horizon in all directions, wondering where the next hero would come from. Soon, she spied one, a rider in red, a warrior poet trained by mystics whose monastery lay at the bottom of a waterfall. She ran down the tower and outside, past the dragon's corpse, to the side of the wall of thorns that he approached. And as he came near, she laughed and sang and offered him words of encouragement. But that is not what came out. The princess was banished here for a reason, she whispered, her voice as sharp as the thorns, for she is cursed to eternal unhappiness, and anyone who comes near her is so cursed as well, which is why only dragons and molds and carrion birds live close to the tower. If you value the rest of your life, you should avoid the accursed woman who lives here, and seek a fortune more worthy of you. And the warrior poet, considering these words, turned and left. She stared through the thorns as he vanished into the horizon, too shocked to understand what had happened. But the next week, when a conjurer who wove shapes out of sunlight came to the Wall of Thorns, she whispered through it that he should take heed, for if the princess's own family did not work to rescue her, but to pay off others to do so, then she must not be such a prize after all. And he, too, heeded her words and left. Later that month, she hissed to an acrobatic swordsman that the princess in the tower was an illusion, a trick, concealing only an old hag rightfully abandoned by the world. And he took her words to heart and departed. And by then she realized the dragon had not told its own lies, but only spoken aloud the words she had thought, over and over again, like bad habits in her solitude. As the world failed to reach her, she had decided she was not worthy of being reached, and of everyone who came to the tower, only the dragon had understood her heart well enough to read it. She wept and raged and threw herself at the Wall of Thorns, but they cut whatever came near them, and her arms bled, and she was no braver than her suitors. "You are so stupid," she told herself, thinking there would ever be an escape. And she returned to her tower. The dragon rose again not long after, for such creatures do not truly die in places of despair, and wrapped itself ever more tightly around her tower. Though her song grows increasingly lovely from a great distance, the dragon's words are ever more wicked to those who come near, and they are there to this day. This has been a dispatch from the Institute of Magical Historicity. The Institute is headquartered in San Francisco with major offices in New York, Zurich, Rochester, and Prague. Dispatches are released twice a month on iTunes, SoundCloud, and other services, with additional dispatches provided exclusively to Institute members. Dispatches cannot be taken for credit, but can serve as course prerequisites. We'd like to thank our supporters, including Jim Foster, Theodore Wax, and Michael Berger. The Institute is a signatory to the Johannesburg Protocols and is in no way affiliated with Benjamin Winter or his estate. For more information, including a selection of workshops, books, artifacts, and certifications in magical historicity, visit magicalhistoricity.com. You can support the Institute or become a member on Patreon at patreon.com/magicalhistoricity.